Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Good morning and welcome to NABWIC Politically Speaking, and I'm your host, Katina McClinton, and I'm with Tasha Green, the co-host, and we are talking with Tori Reynolds this morning. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm fine. It's so glad to have you, Mr. Reynolds, on the line this morning, and we have Tasha as a co-host this morning. Tasha, how are you doing?
Doing fantastic, Katina. Thanks so much for asking.
And we have your bio here, Corey, that says that you are natively from Florida and you've been raised up in Hillsborough County Schools. And I know that you and I went to Hillsborough High School together. Go Terriers.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Class 89. Go Big Red.
Yes. So we do want to talk about, we see that you're running for Hillsborough County Commission seat, District 5, and we want to expound on that this morning.
Yeah. Yeah,
tell us a little bit more about this.
This is Tasha. Go ahead.
Can you repeat that?
Then go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, like I said, I'm born and raised in Tampa, Florida, went to Hillsborough High School. I'm a military vet, U.S. Army. Did 4 years in there, came home, got my master's degree. I am a computer programmer by trade. This is what I do for my living. I'm a computer programmer. And I saw an opportunity to make a change for the better for the community.
Okay, that's wonderful, Corey. This is Tasha Green chiming in. Was there anything specific that you can tell us that kind of was the deciding factor for you to go ahead and put your hat in the ring to run for the office of county commissioner?
Yeah, I just saw that. I love Hillsborough County. Yeah, you're born and raised here. I mean, I left, but I came back home. When I was in the military, I did come back home. And I saw the changes where it wasn't inclusive of everyone. And I thought, you know, don't have the county lose its history. Let's make it inclusive of everybody while we're beautifying as well, too. So I thought that I would be the man who can bring that program into place.
Okay. And is this your first political venture, or do you have any previous experience as a politician?
No, it's my first time. I had been encouraged to run in 2014, but I didn't have the energy at the time to do it. I said, no, I'll give it some more time. I think right now it's the perfect time for me to run.
Okay. Well, that's one of the things that we have in common. I actually just ran my first race in Westland, Michigan, and was successful in doing so to join Office of City Council in my city. So I definitely wish you well and Know that you can do anything that you put your mind to. So, Corey, can you tell us what changes you are looking to make within the Office of County Commissioner once elected?
Yes. First, let me say congrats to you and you winning your race. I think that's tremendous.
Thank you.
What I want to do is I just want to make sure that we, in the Office of County Commissioner, that we maintain the history that is in all these areas that they're trying to change. You're walked through some. I born and raised here, so I was born in '71, and you're walked through some neighborhoods, and they're totally gone. The whole history of it is just erased away. And I'm saying, look, it's okay to beautify a neighborhood, but don't erase the history that's there. You can bring in new programs or new buildings, new plans, whatever you want to do, around the history that's all within that community. And I think it's very important to maintain what we can as we beautify. And that's one of the things I really want to do is make sure that we beautify but maintain, not erase.
Okay. Totally agree with you there. Now, can you tell us on a little bit of a different direction, you happen to have any particular feelings or thoughts about rights as it relates to felons or returning citizens coming home and their rights having being restored?
Yes, I've always said it blows my mind how you'll tell a person we're going to put you in prison. This is your penance for your crime. You got to pay back your debt to society. Okay, they go to prison for however long it is. When they come home, now you're still punishing that person for a crime you said they've already paid back by doing prison. So why is it when they get out of prison, they still cannot assimilate back into society on an easier basis? They catch so many problems just trying to get a job, getting their rights restored back to them. And I'm saying when they come out of prison, let these people do their best to find a job, find housing, so they can now not be a repeat offender. So I'm not saying that I don't want to make people think that I want to just shoot their crowd up on the road. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying how can you this person not repeat if not giving this person an opportunity not to repeat in an election? That makes no sense to me. Why can't I find a job if I pay my debt back? Like when I buy a house, once I pay the house off, I don't have to pay for the house again. I just give me my deed, we close out the loan, and I'm fine. So to say the same thing with a felon. When a felon comes home, they've paid their debt, allow this person now to be a part of society again and allow them the opportunity to become a productive citizen in that society again.
Well, I actually totally agree with you, Corey, and that's one of the things, the passions that we share. I am an advocate for returning citizens as well, and, you know, in my particular area, I'm a member of several progressive organizations like Michigan United and NAACP and the local Black Caucus, and it does take people with a heart and who are willing to stand up. And most importantly, those type of laws and changes are going to happen within our local legislator or state legislator. So you
exactly.
Standing up and saying that you want to stand for the people is very commendable. It definitely is a need for people like you and me to come in and be the voice to the people without a voice. So I definitely commend you there, and I support, you know, your feeling in that area, because it is not fair to returning citizens. So, yeah, definitely let's continue to make those changes. Do you happen to have a particular view on minimum wage, or should it be – an outlook on what your thoughts are as it relates to the wage for working people?
That's how I'll say it. Because I had this talk a lot, and people, they get upset at me about my stance. they'll always say, well, you know, looking at the budget. And my thing is, if you can find a budget for a hammer or a screwdriver, you can find a budget to increase minimum wage. Milk is going up, eggs going up, breads are going up, cars, houses, but not the wages. I believe you have to find it within your budget to give these people an opportunity to earn a living wage. when it was first passed, that was the whole purpose of them passing it, was to give a person a living wage. And if the cost of living is going up, then so should the wages. I'm not trying to or don't want to cripple the budget by hurting anybody in any particular area. However, if a person is working 40 hours a week at a job and they are faithful and dedicated to this employer, shouldn't that employer also be just have that same pressure put back on them to give a living wage? I don't believe $9 an hour is a living wage for a person with one child. $9 an hour, how can you make $9 an hour at 360 a week before taxes and say, nah, I'm going to make a living? I believe it should be higher than that. That's just me. That's how I stand on it. Now, a lot of folks don't agree with me, but my thing is, as an official who represents the community, your job is to look out for the best interest of the people. And if you can make it the possibility of or reality of increasing the living wage, then you should put that on the table. So, look, we've got the money. Let's make this a reality to give these people a living wage. That's my stance.
Well, you know, Corey, there's a lot of well-known people in the political realm that actually agree with you. I know Bernie Sanders, who ran for president, that's one of his, hot-button items in terms of increasing the minimum wage throughout our country. And it's one of the things that Hillary Clinton's platform focused on as well when she was running. So you're definitely not alone in that. And so, once after you get elected, you know, sitting down with your coworkers or other elected officials and pulling back the layers and taking a look at the budget and, you know, finding out or determining what can be done from a economic standpoint and when, to try and help people, but also to make sure that, business owners also continue to thrive, when those type of changes are made.
Yeah.
But you are definitely not alone, and there's a lot of people that stand with you and will continue to stand with you in that fight for a higher wage for working families. Now, just speaking in terms of you winning, what would you say would need to happen in order for you to win in your journey to become county commissioner?
Well, that's a good question. So far, the advice that I've been given is that for me to win, I would have to get out more because I'm a first-timer. So people can meet me, talk to me, ask me those questions they may not get a chance to ask because now we're one-on-one. I would have to be more engaging. I do get out as much as I can, but there's so many different events. So you got to pick and choose which events you want to go to make sure that you're visible to all people. You have to also come across as being genuine as what you're saying. I think that once you meet me face-to-face and we're talking, you'll understand that I'm not a politician. I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean that in a positive, that I'm not here to look out for the interests of big business. I believe a local politician, their position should be to look out for the needs of the people whenever possible they can. And once you meet me, you will see that this dude is really genuine. He's not about the glitz and the glamour of the position. He's about the community and the people within that community. That's more important to him than the title of the job. As a matter of fact, I'm so simple. I'm just a down-home boy that the title don't move me. I look for the results of what the title brings. So in order for me to win, it's all about visibility, people being able to talk to me one-on-one, asking me those hard questions, and getting a feel for who I am. And once they get a feel that I'm genuine, they'll be ready for me.
Okay. Thank you, Corey. I lost that last bit of what you were saying, but I heard the majority of it, and overall I think you're right on target. I'll quickly share with you my experience. When you spoke about being genuine, that is absolutely what helped me win, my race as county, as city council. I ran in Westland, which is overwhelmingly Caucasian. And, I'm a first-time politician like you, and seniors, predominantly white seniors, determine who wins due to our high absentee vote turnout. So what helped me be successful, and you probably are already doing these type of things is knocking on doors. People want to, you know, see you. They want to know who they're voting for. They want to form their own opinion of you.
Button.
So knocking on doors, and you can't really knock, you know, depending on your city, how big it is, you may not be able to knock every door, but knocking as many as you can and having people go out and knock for you, phone banking, calling them, making sure your literature is reaching them, not taking anything for granted, you know, even if it looks like you're going to win. In my race, I had a gentleman who ran, and he was a 16-year incumbent, decided to, you know, that he was going to coast in. He lost after 16 years by 31 votes.
Wow.
So, you know, definitely doing the work and being who you are, you know, being who you are and being genuine and standing for the people, that's what everyday people want. So it definitely sounds like you have a good plan. And as it relates to your comment on, you know, which events you want to choose, narrowing it down to what's going to best benefit your community and where your constituents are, because, like you said, we can't be everywhere at every time. So sounds like you definitely have a good plan to have a successful race or a successful ending to your race. Another question I'd like to ask you is if I were a constituent, and you were asking for my vote, why would you say your constituent or someone like me, why should I vote for you?
The reason being is because excellent question. It's because that's what I tell them. Somebody asked me that question. Why should I vote for you? And I told them straight up, I'm not a politician. I'm not here. It really bothers me when people get upset about the everyday worker getting food stamps. And I tell people that that's a small percentage of money that comes out of the government. If food stamps upsets you, does big companies getting government subsidies, does that bother you? There's one company that gets $7.8 billion a year in government subsidies. But that doesn't bother you. That's a billion-dollar a year industry company. But they get $7.8 billion in government subsidies. So if that subsidy doesn't bother you, why should food stamps? So to vote for me is because it's time that we have somebody in office that's going to look out for the needs of the people, the wants of the people, and not about these big companies. Don't get me wrong. I understand you need the companies to hire the people. I understand all that. But the companies need the people to work for them as well, too. So it goes hand in hand. But it seems like the everyday person is totally being pushed to the side to make sure big companies maintain their bottom line. And I'm saying, look, you have to be somewhere in the line to make sure that the everyday Joe has this opportunity. So to vote for me, I'll make sure that this everyday Joe has that fighting chance every day I'm in office. And I will not waver from that. And if I were to waver from it, you can always come to me and check me on it. I'm not some dude where you can't come talk to me, no matter what. The title don't move me. Never have, never will. So I'm going to still be who I am. Now, what I'm saying to you, I'm going to maintain that. So the vote for me is who you're going to get every day I'm in office, every day.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited for you, Corey. I am fired up and excited for you, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So what we're going to do right now is just quickly take a brief break to hear from our NABWIC commercial, and we will be right back.
Okay.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. Board. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the Internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
All right, welcome back to NABWIC Politically Speaking. This is one of the co-hosts, Tasha Green, here with Mr. Corey Reynolds, who is joining us as a candidate for Tampa Hillsborough County Commissioner. And I'm also joined by my co-host, Katina McReynolds. And we, at this point of the show, we are going to open it up for questions for anyone who might be, just as excited for Corey as we are. And if you would like to ask any questions, you can push the number 1 on your phone to open the line up and jump right in. Do we have any callers?
This is Katina McClinton, and I'm the host of the NABWIC Politically Speaking with our co-host, Tasha Green. And I just want to ask, if any callers that's out there listening would like to chime in, please press 1 to chime in to ask any questions. And the question I do have, Corey, what is your favorite book to read?
My favorite book is The Willie Lynch Letter, The Making of a Slave. I love that book. I thought it was a beautifully written book. I thought that there's a debate on if Lynch really existed or not, but the concept, what he had in that book, was so real, it didn't matter to me. I thought the book was really good book. Another book that I'm reading right now is The Lost Tribes and Promised Lands. Another good book. So those are my two favorite books.
And the author of The Lost Tribe, and why is that your favorite book?
Because a lot of my friends, we love to debate scripture and the validity of it. And the Old Testament is historical. So you can track a lot of that stuff down through history. So with the Lost Tribes, it talks about how basically the black man, people don't want to get credit for it, they want to call them people of color, but they were black people, how there was an exodus out of Africa and how they scattered throughout the globe. And now they want to call them the Lost Tribes because we don't know who we are. So this book is basically pointing out who the Lost Tribes are. And it's giving credit to the black man, the black woman as being the lost tribes or the chosen ones. And that book, I like it. Don't get me wrong, it can be difficult to read because of the ins and outs of it, but when you know the history of it, it flows really well. Pretty good book.
Okay, great. Does anybody else have any questions they would like to ask Corey? Please press 1. I see we have no questions. Would you like to reconvene?
Well,
I'm sorry,
I think
Katina,
a good question
is,
for...
Sorry, Tasha, this is Ann. I was pressing 1, and it didn't show up, but I do have a question, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Corey,
yes.
Good morning. This is such an awesome show. I don't live in Tampa, but I have sat here and listened to you, and I recommitted myself not to run for a political office, but to go back to the place of my birth where gentrification is also going on and see what I can do to help support the same theme that you're suggesting, which is, you know, it's good to revitalize, but don't wipe out our history. So I'd like to suggest to you, if you would like to, and this is really my question, and that is, how can people who don't live in Tampa financially help support your campaign? Do you have a site or something that people can go to where they can make donations or reach out to you?
Yes, there's two there's two places you can go to. I have my PayPal account. It's www.paypal.me/Reynolds Commissioner. And that'll take you right to my account to send it to. Or you can go to my webpage, www.ReynoldsFourCountyCommissioner.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And, Corey, was there anything else that you would like your listeners or constituents and potential voters to know? Any final comments?
All that I say is that locally, they say that it's hard to get votes locally because people really don't vote. Black people really don't vote locally. And all I can say is that please just get out and vote. Even if you don't vote for me, just get out and vote. Let your voices be heard. Because you're still going to live in this county, so at least vote for something that's going to make a change for you for the better. If you say I'm not a candidate, then find a candidate that's going to work for you. And get out there and vote.
Well, that's definitely a good final thought, Corey. And speaking as a politician, people, in order for them to remember to vote, they got to hear from you. They got to, know that you are the one that's going to stand up for them. And based on what I'm hearing, I'm confident that you are that person. And hopefully, when the election comes, the voters will reassure you that they feel the very same way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Corey, this
All right,
is Christina,
well,
and I'm so proud you are running as a classmate of mine. So it really moves my heart that I see one of my fellow classmates running for a position. And I would like to commend you on your efforts, and we'll support you in the best way we know how to. And please repeat your campaign and how we can get in touch with you and how we can help you.
The website is www.ReynoldsForCommissioner.com. That's www.ReynoldsForCommissioner.com. The PayPal is www.paypal.me/Reynolds Commissioner. And that way you can donate either through the PayPal or right through the website.
Tasha, any other final thoughts?
No, just to wish Corey the best of luck, and I'm sure you'll be very successful. If you do the work, God will handle the rest. So definitely good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll be glad to have you back on our show when you're ready. Have a good day. Thank you, everybody.
You too. All right, bye-bye.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.